You're listening to Helping Those with DID, a podcast of Lydia Discipleship Ministries. Thank you for your desire to gain more understanding of how to best help those with dissociative issues. You can visit our website at www.lydiadm.org. And now, let's listen in.
Well, hi, friends. Thanks for joining us again. Today, we're going to do something just a little bit different. Instead of Lindy taking the reins and asking me questions, I'm going to flip it and be asking her questions. And, you know, around the office, I have the saying that I have the spiritual gift of pushing people out of their comfort zone. So that may be a little bit what's happening today as we're doing things off the cuff, as we say. Lindy has been involved in ministry for many years, and one of those segments had to do with a ministry that was involved in putting mentors in the lives of people that had been involved in human trafficking. So I thought I'd ask Lindy some questions about that. First of all, what is the role of mentorship?
Thanks, Elaine. It is fun and different to be over here answering questions. What is the role of mentorship? Well, if I can totally cheat to start out, you actually gave me a picture once in my former role that I have held on to and shared a lot, and it was of the man who was carried by his friends to Jesus on the mat, and you said the two friends maybe in front looking back were kind of like a counselor that helps you look back in where you've come from and the things that have shaped you. And then you have two friends on the other end of the mat that are walking forward and helping you see what's ahead. And that can really be a mentor that is believing for the healing that Jesus is going to bring and just walking beside you, looking forward into your life.
Well, you put my own words back to me then. Well, what would be, like, if you're thinking of the importance of mentorship to your ministry as a counselor, what advantages would there be of including that in the realm of those people involved in the stories of people that are finding healing?
Well, I feel like it's crucial to have both people on the mat, if you will. When I worked with mentors, to flip it again for a second, we really encouraged the person that was healing to find a healthy and effective counselor. And sometimes the mentor even was part of that process of helping them find a counselor, because it is a very distinctive role. And if you can have both of those, I think the pace of healing and the safety around healing is just so much greater. So for the mentoring role, I really believe that is the person that's in your day-to-day life, just in the ups and in the downs. Counselor has a lot of skills and training, and you also get 50 minutes in their office, maybe twice a week or once a week. And it's just such a little pocket of time, sometimes with a lot of intensity around it. But who do you call to go on a walk with you after your counseling session to kind of just walk through all of the things that you were thinking or feeling? Or who do you call when you are overwhelmed to go to the grocery store, because it just feels like everything is too hard today, but there is nothing in your fridge to eat. And you just need somebody to go with you. We talked just this last session about going to church and how intimidating that can be. I don't think you get to call up your counselor and ask if you could sit together at church as much as we might like to do that sometimes. But, there's just something about this person that sees you and knows you and cares about you very authentically and will journey through life with you. And it looks different in different stages of a mentoring relationship, but there's just something about that trust and consistency over time that can be really powerful.
Well said. Well, what's the difference then Let me parse it a little differently. What's the difference between discipleship and mentorship?
That is a great question. I think that when I first heard the term discipleship, even when we met, I had a picture of like, well, you've got to, that's the person, you know, a church that sits down and teaches you how to study the Bible, right? And then maybe a mentor would be the person who is in your day-to-day life. And I have grown to realize that if there could be another word that mixed the two together, like that would be the ideal relationship where the individual who's the mentor or the discipler is growing in their own relationship with the Lord and really seeking him for their own understanding and insight, and then just bringing that person, inviting them to join in that, right? So it can be the things of everyday life, or it can be the understanding of who God is in your own journey and helping someone explore that for themselves. I know that when we have trained mentors, we've encouraged them to be very careful about how they approach spiritual topics with the women that they're serving. We can get into a lot of trouble when we prescribe a lot of just prayer and God's, you know, plan into their lives right away. I think that can be overwhelming and almost push someone away. But at the same time, we do know that ultimately our healing is through Christ. And so I feel like modeling that is a really big part of it. I know that I was talking to a pastor's wife about the ministry I was involved with once, and she just said, well, when do you share the gospel? And she was really adamant about that, kind of in this interview about, were they going to help our ministry? And I loved her heart because I know the gospel is what we need. But I think that it was a bit of tunnel vision in that. And I decided later, as I thought about that question, it kind of rankled me. And so I thought, why is this? What would I have said to her? And I think the answer I came up with was, when do we not? So by being someone who is seeking after the Lord and wanting to be the fragrance of Christ in that relationship, I feel like my perspective is that is so welcoming to someone, the more that we can be honoring and sharing Christ in our life, that it's naturally going to create opportunity to talk about his word, to talk about his character, and to very gently, you know, you talk a lot about shepherding, and I think that's such a good word for how we relate to each other. And then that discipleship piece gets to become more and more part of the relationship.
That's really an important point. It's almost sounding like the two can come together. The discipleship, the appropriate discipleship class might be a place for the mentor to attend with the person.
Yes, I think that would be ideal.
Mm-hmm. What kind of training would someone need to be a mentor? We know friends, it's mentorship seems like a step up, more maybe structured than just a friend. And so as a mentor, what do you need to know in order to be a mentor?
Well, I think that distinction between friendship and mentorship is a real crucial one. A friendship is like a give and take relationship, where you kind of, I share with you and you share with me and we have expectations of each other. Whereas mentorship, really, you can't have that same expectation of reciprocity in your emotional connection with each other. I think it has to be more, you're the one giving and caring and nurturing without an expectation that they're going to fill your bucket in return. So that's a bit of an offshoot of that friendship mentorship. What does training look like? What's needed there? I feel like it's crucial. I think that if you are just someone who is well-meaning and has a big heart and wants to, in my, you know, circumstance was working with specifically survivors of sex trafficking. That's kind of something that's being talked about a lot now, which is great. But a lot of ladies want to help, right? And so they want to take in these mentoring roles. But I feel like training is crucial because what that does is it helps you to recognize, first of all, where are my shortcomings? Where are the places in my life that I need to be healed and continue my healing so that I'm healthy enough to care for someone else well? It's also an understanding of trauma, an understanding of DID. I think that we've talked often, you know, about how early childhood trauma can result in DID. And even understanding that, like, to be honest, when we started mentoring, we didn't have all of that information, and it really damaged the way that we interacted with survivors because we didn't have the tools we needed to see what was happening in their mind and in their life. And so well-meaning is not enough. You do have to have trauma training. You do have to have, I think just so many different pieces of understanding of their history, of the story, and where you fit into it, who you are, who you're not, appropriate boundaries. There's a lot to be said for making sure that you're part of a program, even for the oversight that that brings, versus just trying to go out on your own and help someone. I don't think that usually works out well in the end.
Mm-hmm. I think that it, as you mentioned a couple of times, there's well-meaning, caring people, but maybe they shouldn't be involved in a mentorship role at this time. I'm wondering, are there red flags, as you say that you were head of a ministry for mentoring, and different ones come in with a desire to be mentors? What were some of the red flags that you were a little bit concerned about?
Sure, that's a good question. I talked about a firecracker personality versus like a candle. And sometimes when someone has a lot of passion and zeal and they just almost want to be the savior of, you know, all of these poor, broken women, it's almost like they're putting themselves in the role of being the one that's going to make everything better and championing them, a big heart, but without that quiet consistency. That was always something that kind of made me pause. I also had a really extensive list of questions that included understanding your own story and what healing have you done in your own life. This ministry draws those of us who have gone through similar pain, which is a beautiful thing, right? Because there's so much redemption in that. But if you haven't taken the time in your own life to really, I think, address that pain with the Lord and with appropriate counsel, even if you think you're okay, this is going to stir it up again. And so I feel like that is a big piece. If someone says, oh, you know, well, me and Jesus, we've got it all figured out, and I don't even think about it anymore. It doesn't even bother me anymore. But there's been no structured work in their life to look at those things. I think that's always rather concerning. And then I guess the third one would be a willing heart of submission to the leadership of whatever organization that you're part of. Even if, so let's say they say, well, you can have $50 each month to go do special things together, you know, and that's what the ministry gives you. But you just want to give so much that you're spending $200 and you think you're very altruistic and helpful, but you're not falling inside of the guidelines that the ministry has set forth. And there's a reason that they're there. So I think I look for someone who's willing to honor the procedure, even if they don't quite understand, and to just trust the people that are walking through that. So those are a couple of things I think that always made me feel concerned when I saw that happening.
Wow, you've given us a lot of ideas. Is there anything you want to add?
I feel like it's so important if someone is considering mentoring to really also make sure, who do they have around them? What is their support system like? What is their marriage and family like right now? I talked a lot in our trainings about calling and capacity. So there might be a time where our heart feels called to something, but we are already maxed out emotionally and spiritually, and we have little ones at home. And so we end up being well-meaning, but we don't have capacity. So I think those two have to be there. And then also, who's praying for you? We cannot emphasize enough that this is a spiritual battle that we're walking into. Someone has, Satan has had a grip on certain parts of their past, on their story. He's tried to destroy them, and they are actively seeking life and healing and freedom. And when you're walking with them, you would be foolish not to realize that that's going to be a spiritual battle for your own life, for your own family. And so not to take that lightly, but really to have the people in your space that are praying with you and praying for you. I also think, since we're talking to counselors, in the best scenario, if it's possible for a counselor and a mentor to have rapport with each other, to have relationship, to even have, if it's appropriate, a disclosure statement signed, because there's just so much that could happen during the week. And a mentor might find out about suicidal thoughts, or they might know things that a counselor would need to know. But if that can really be a team of the three of them, I feel like that has so much power to work effectively. And then you don't get this kind of playing back and forth of maybe mentor versus counselor and those kinds of things. I just think that that can go a long way. And I've seen that model work really beautifully, where there's a sharing back and forth when it's appropriate.
Well, you've given us lots of things to think about, and it sounds like a mentorship role, it would be advantageous to have that in relationship with counselors and their clients, because you mentioned the word team, and it's my conviction that that team ministry, especially with DID situations, but also with other hurting people, that that team mentality really needs to be part of the mix. So.
I agree with you. I think if any one person tries to single-handedly take on a relationship, they're going to get burnt out, overwhelmed. And then the other person that's the mentee, for lack of a better word, is going to feel abandoned. Sometimes, you know, because you thought you could do this, and then it gets to be too much. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. And so even having sometimes in our past ministry, we would have two mentors, even working together with the same woman, because then you do just have that even more of a team and support system within that for each other. I don't think the Lord ever intended it to just be one person being the hero, right? And I have to say, something that really changed my perspective was, again, from you, but it was the idea that our job as a mentor is to place this individual's hand into the hand of Jesus. And so I am not the one fixing all the problems. I'm not the one with the answers. He is. And so just helping guide them to him, because he's our only healer. That's really important too.
Well, Lindy, this has been really great. I've learned a whole bunch of stuff myself, so thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, friends, for joining us. We'll be popping out with another podcast sometime soon, so stay tuned. Bye-bye now.
You can visit our website for resources at www.lydiadm.org.